Reading from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Thanks, Tom. My name is Chris. I'm one of the other ministers here at Willows, and it's fantastic to be able to look at this passage together with you all this evening. So why don't I pray and let's jump in. Let's pray. Our Father God, we do thank you that you speak to us in your word, that you change us by it. And so we pray that you would this evening for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the other day, I ran into one of my neighbours, one of my old neighbours from when we lived on Ross River Road, a bloke named Phil. They were great neighbours. We got on really well with him and his wife. They were awesome. And so it was really great seeing him. And so as I did, I wished him a Merry Christmas this time of year and then asked how they were going. I wanted to hear how they were going. And I actually found out that they've had a pretty tough year. Their world got turned upside down when Phil's wife got diagnosed with cancer. And so this last year, she's had to go through surgery and then chemo. Fortunately for her, she's able to come out the other side of that. But then a little while later, she was walking around her house and fell down her stairs and then broke 3 ribs and ended up back in hospital. I mean, my heart went out to them. They've been through the ringer this year. Their world has been turned upside down. That's been tough. And I was chatting with Phil. He was saying that they couldn't wait to just see the back of 2022 and just start fresh in 2023. Now, the cynic in me was sort of wondering, okay, is that actually going to change things? Is a new year going to make things better? I wonder. Now, I don't know what sort of year you've had this past year. I hope you've had a good year. But maybe you can relate to my old neighbour. Maybe this year your world has been turned upside down. And if that's the case, you might relate to the bloke that we meet in tonight's passage. Because in this passage that we're looking at tonight, we see Joseph's world get turned upside down when his fiancée is discovered to be pregnant and he knows that he can't be the father. Joseph, he just wants to get past that and just move on with his life. And so if you feel like that's you here tonight, let's look at this passage, because Joseph discovers that that's actually not going to fix his problem, just moving on. Instead, what he discovers is that God can actually do something in him and through this baby that has rocked his world to actually make his world right again. So let's jump in and discover how God can actually set our world right again. So let's jump in. The first thing we see in tonight's passage is Joseph's world getting turned upside down. And we see this from verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now here Matthew is wanting to give us a bit of a picture of the events surrounding the birth of Jesus. And so he introduces us to the family that Jesus is going to be born into. We meet Mary, his mum, but then we meet Joseph, who's pledged to be married to her. And in those days, being pledged to marry or being engaged or affianced or whatever you like to call it, was actually a bit more of a serious deal than it is today.
Like this required paperwork. You couldn't just get out of this lightly. You couldn't just walk away from an engagement. You actually had to file for divorce, basically. And so here, Joseph and Mary, they're practically married. They're a hairbreadth away from being married. And so from Joseph's perspective, he's probably feeling like his life is sort of falling into place, right? He's got a good job, he's a carpenter, and he's probably looking forward to his upcoming wedding to Mary and his life together with her. Maybe he's even dreaming about starting a family with her one day. And yet in this passage that we just looked at, we see all those plans come crashing down when he discovers that his fiancée is pregnant and he can't be the father. Now, we know that she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Matthew's told us that. But this isn't something that Joseph knew yet. And so all he knew at this point in the passage is that his fiancée has just clearly cheated on him with some other bloke. And he's just devastated by this. But credit to him, he doesn't take it out on Mary. He doesn't want to get back at her. We see this from verse 19. He says this, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Joseph here seems to be a pretty good guy. He doesn't want to humiliate his wife or his sort of soon-to-be wife. He doesn't want to get back at her in any way. He's not being vindictive. He just wants to divorce her quietly with the minimum of fuss and just move on and get on with his life. This is a pretty relatable response, isn't it? At least it is to me. I remember a couple of years ago now in my own life, I broke my collarbone really quite badly. If you're a regular here at church, you'd probably know that I did it mountain biking, and the Sunday after I did it, everyone here at church laughed at me, which I probably deserved, to be honest. I was probably being a little bit dumb at the time. But it was terrible. I hated having a broken collarbone. There was all these things in my life that I couldn't do. I was just sort of left, sort of leaving everything to my wife, which she probably didn't enjoy doing either, to be honest. But that was what I was like. I just wanted to get past it. I couldn't wait for the bone to heal so I could get back to doing all those things that I wanted to do. And this is what Joseph is like here. He just wants to move on, get past this, and get on with life. Now, is that how you're feeling tonight? Maybe it is. But if so, let's look at what happens next in this story, because what we see in the rest of this passage is God doesn't let Joseph just move on. Because for Joseph, that wouldn't have actually fixed the problem. That wouldn't have fixed the problem of his world being turned upside down. Instead, what Joseph discovers is that this baby who's upended his world was actually sent precisely to fix his world, to turn his world right side up. So let's have a look at verse 20. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he'll save his people from their sins. As Joseph is working out exactly how he's going to divorce Mary quietly, he gets what very few other people in the Bible get. He gets a visit from an angel in a dream. Now, as soon as I mention an angel, you might be thinking, did he just use the wrong mushrooms in dinner that night? Is he hallucinating this or something? And to answer that, I'd say, I actually don't see great grounds for doubting the plausibility of this. And I've got a couple of reasons for that. The first is, there was no one in Joseph's day going around and saying the sort of things that this angel told him about, of a miraculous conception apart from ordinary means, if you get my drift. This just wasn't a thing at the time. Not even a first century James Cameron could have come up with something as fantastical as what this angel spoke to him. But then secondly, for Joseph to actually listen to the angel and do what this angel told him to do would have carried a massive cost for Joseph. To actually go through with this marriage to Mary would have carried with it massive social stigma. And we know it actually did. Later on in Jesus' life, when he was fully grown, one of his detractors actually raised this. They actually questioned his legitimacy publicly. Because all those years later, 30 years later, there were still these question marks hanging over Jesus' parentage. And so this is the cost of Joseph actually believing that this was an angel. And so the fact that Joseph himself didn't write this off as a mere hallucination actually, for me, makes it seem very plausible. And if it's plausible, it's actually worth considering what the angel told Joseph that this baby would do. The angel tells Joseph that this baby Jesus would save his people from their sins. Now, to grasp the sheer magnitude of what this angel is saying, I think we need to enter into the worldview of the Bible a little bit. And so to help us think through that, can I raise the possibility that for most of us, I feel, we've got this intuition that the world isn't as it should be. Do you feel that? Do you feel like the world shouldn't contain, for whatever reason, as much suffering or pain as it does? Do you feel like things like my old neighbour getting cancer just shouldn't happen? Like when you see news events where people mistreat each other terribly, you feel like that just shouldn't be the case. Now, leaving aside where that intuition comes from, the Bible's explanation for that sense that we all seem to have is that we weren't actually created to live in that kind of a world, the kind of world that we find ourselves in. Because at the very beginning, God created a good world, a world that was without pain, without suffering. And that sense that we have that this world isn't as it should be is because we're actually longing for that world that we were created to live in. But we don't live in that world now because sin hijacked it. Sin crept into this creation when our ancient forebears rejected God's way. And when they did that, it fractured our relationship with our Creator. And that fracture permeated into every facet of our existence. It means that we don't relate to each other very well. It means we don't relate to creation very well. This is the ramifications of sin. And when we grasp what sin has robbed us of, we can begin to grasp the significance of what Jesus came to do. He came to save us from our sin. He came to save us from our sin-ravaged world. And more than that, he came to actually restore us to the world that we were created to experience. Jesus came specifically to change the way that we relate to our Creator. He came to restore that relationship so that we can now know God, and that would have a flow-on effect that we could actually love and relate to each other the way that we were designed. Jesus came to save us from our sin-ravaged world and restore our world to what it was meant to be. That's what's contained in this one little line that this angel speaks to Joseph. He came, he will save his people from their sin. This is what Jesus came to do that very first Christmas. And this is what Joseph discovered. Now, as we look at the end of 2022 and the beginning of 2023, the end of a year won't fix our sin-ravaged world. It's not going to solve that problem for us. It'd be great if it did, but sadly it won't. But what we've seen in this passage tonight is that even though that can't fix our broken world, Jesus can. And he will, if you're willing to accept it. And so can I ask, are you willing to accept what Jesus has to offer this Christmas? Well, if you are, I'm going to pray in a moment. And if you would like what Jesus is offering, you can pray along with me, just in the quietness of your own heart and mind. But if you do, can I suggest don't leave it there? Come chat with me, come chat with Jason, come chat with whoever brought you along, because we would love to talk to you about this hope that Jesus came to offer us that very first Christmas. Well, I'm going to pray. Father God, our world isn't as it should be. And Lord God, we know that we're partially to blame for that. We've contributed to the brokenness of this world with our own sinful attitudes and our own sinful behaviours. Lord God, please forgive us for that. And thank you that Jesus came into our world to save us from our sin and all its effects. Please help us accept this offer that he gives us this Christmas. And help us grasp the hope of a world that one day Jesus will give us. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.